I'm Kate Remington with Stanford Symphony Orchestra's music director, Michael Stern, and it's really wonderful to have a chance to catch up with you.
Well, it's great to be here with you as well, Kate.
You know, the orchestra has a very special concert planned for Sunday, December 20th, called Venetian Holiday, and it includes a piccolo concerto by Vivaldi with Kathleen Nestor from the orchestra, and music for brass by Gabrielli with the orchestra's brass quintet, and it's free, which is wonderful. And I think what's so great is, you know, that these days in December keep getting darker and darker, and it's just wonderful to have something bright to look forward to.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, and I think so too. You know, we're all looking to put 2020 behind us in the rearview mirror, and the music really has not stopped, but we are all, because of COVID, separated still, and we need to be with our constituents. We need to be with our community, and so we do it through music. And what I love about these offerings online, which we're not calling concerts, we're calling them online premieres. They're not full-length concerts at all, but we're rolling them out in a regular way to be able to give these little gifts of music and to offer connection and, you know, something for the moment. What I love about the choices of this music is that they do seem seasonally appropriate.
Yeah.
But they're not specifically holiday-oriented at all. You mentioned the Gabrielli, the canzonas for brass, which are extraordinary pieces. Actually, one of the first examples of music dictated by social distancing, because Gabrielli wrote them in with the express idea at having the various voices in this group separated for acoustic effect. And I mean, and they're also incredibly beautiful, but there's something about that music which is intrinsically celebratory, and there's ritual in it, and there's also joy. And I think that is something quite appropriate for the season. And then, of course, our wonderful Kathleen Nestor, who plays with us, and she's such a marvelous musician and artist and instrumentalist. And she's playing Vivaldi's C major piccolo concerto, which also is it's just a joyful, dancing, smiling, hopeful offering of music at a time when I think we need it most.
Absolutely. And if you think back, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, Venice went through a plague and they came out just fine. And we will, too. And I think these are such great choices. What was the process like getting everything recorded?
Well, funny you should ask. it had its share of logistical challenges. And obviously, we were exceedingly safe. Everyone got tested appropriately. All social distancing was maintained. So in the orchestra, a minimum of 6 feet separating everybody. We had a plexiglass shield protecting Kathleen. As a wind soloist, she was the only person performing or filming that wasn't wearing a mask. So she was in her little cocoon there, you know, isolated. And that, of course, makes, right off the bat, it makes performance a little bit more difficult, because the whole essence of playing together as a musical group is proximity, mm-hmm. breathing together, feeling together, and you just add complication after complication when you have distance. But we pulled it off. We were at the Domina Center in New York City, which is a place where we often rehearse. We don't usually perform there, but until we can get back into the Palace Theater, we were very happy to be there. And there was one thing which I think is palpable as you either hear or watch what we did, which was this feeling of well, I'll say it, it was elation. This was really the first time that we'd gotten together since February.
Wow.
And it was... there was a palpable sense of bonding. That's not quite true. We did do a very, very brief thing in the Palace Theater at the very beginning of the season for our gala, mm-hmm. but that was very brief and very short, and it only involved, you know, just a few minutes of music, there was this feeling like here we're coming together for, you know, an orchestra production to release online, and it really was a tonic for our souls.
I can imagine. I've been curious about, in addition to these very special events, these premieres, what sorts of things are you doing to make the orchestra feel like they're still together as a unit?
Well, we are in constant touch with them. First of all, Russell Jones, our executive director, and the entire team, I mean, they're fantastic, right? The way they're shepherding everybody through this point of crisis. We have an incredible board, and the orchestra and everyone together just feels like we are all in this together. It really does. I mean, it seems like a cliche, and in some places I don't believe it is so, and so when they say it, it sounds a little bit hollow. Here, I really think that the feeling from everybody that they belong to a family, an extended family, and we care about each other in a way which is unusual. I mean, I really feel like it's a very inspiring feeling to know that you have these people who are so complicit in trying not only to take care of each other, but to continue to put out, for all the right artistic reasons, something really good. And that goes a long way. I think also the orchestra and the board have been incredibly caring about the musicians and have tried to take care of them, even when we weren't playing, to try to send some funds their way, to try to increase the scope of work, just to give them something to do. Remember, a lot of our musicians are also freelancers in New York.
And yeah, that's right.
I don't have to tell you that everything is shut down there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really tough times. And I mean, there are political issues in getting more help out across the country. I don't know if you've read about it, but there's
I've heard something about that, yeah.
And so, you know, we have to take care of our own in a way which is also going to look forward and position us to be even stronger when we come back, because I do believe that the Stanford Symphony has an enormous role to play. It's a privilege, but we must be ready to serve the community with music and with engagement, maybe in a way that we hadn't even been doing before COVID. And certainly it's a frustrating for me personally because I've just come on board.
Right. Yeah, this is not the premiere season you had planned, I'm sure.
Absolutely not. So the fact that we can get together like this and make music is vital, and everybody's grateful for it.
I can imagine. Well, backing up just a little bit, because you mentioned how Gabrielli's music is celebratory, and it was so location-specific because he wrote it to cover the long delay in St. Mark's in Venice. So he was like solving a problem with this antiphonal music. And I'm curious about how those members of the brass quintet were recorded. Did you station them around in different areas in the venue?
So here's an extra logistical problem, because as you know, there's study after study after study about the aerosol projection of COVID, and which is why we wear masks.
Right.
You can't wear masks playing the trumpet, right? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
So the distance between them had to be even more than we had with our string players. And yet, as you just pointed out rightly, nothing like was at the in the church, in the San Marco church. So they adapted. First of all, they're incredible pros. Second of all, the music is written with that in mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Gabrielli's genius in this music is that the counterpoint is at once instantly identifiable with individual voices and designed to blend into a whole, right? So,
yeah.
So you need the clarity that you get from everybody participating. But the idea of the church, and Gabrielli knew what he was doing, he was counting on the, I don't know, 9-second reverb or something in that church
to
bring the meld everything together. And so that's what they were aiming for. And happily they did it.
I'm really looking forward to hearing how they pulled that all together. What are some of the other things that you're looking forward to with this?
Oh, we have more stuff coming. We've recorded and are planning to go back into the Domena Center to do more and more. I mean, it depends a little bit on what happens with our season and what we're going to be able to do either for live audiences or coming together safely. We do have yet another online premiere coming on January 3rd, and we have more coming in March, April, and May. We're trying to figure out things for February as well. One of the priorities for us is that we don't either want to mislead or become complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, there is an old adage that you should under-promise and over-deliver.
Yeah.
We are never going to under-promise when it comes to the music that we play, but I feel strongly that it is better to err on the side of caution for everybody's safety and mm-hmm. not promise that we will come back with full orchestra on stage before we can do it, because then people will be disappointed. If things really accelerate, we're coming back like gangbusters. Until that time, we will exploit every possibility of digital media. Our Stanford Symphony channel is active. Our website is up and running all the time. And the musicians and Russell and everybody on staff are talking all the time about more ways that we can touch the community and get music out there. And we're still hoping against hope that maybe at the end of this season, it'll be safe enough to have a socially distanced audience at the Palace Theater or get outside and find a venue, perhaps. All of that is being discussed. Nothing is planned. I'm not promising any of that because, in the end, as has been said so often, the virus is going to do what the virus is going to do.
Right.
And what we do in response to that is going to determine that a little bit. But in the end, we don't have that much control. We just have to be vigilant, and I prefer to be vigilant safely with music getting to our folks rather than to imagine things that may not happen. But what I am increasingly and continually amazed at is the resolve of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Stanford Symphony, you're going to see in very short order, step up to the plate more and more and really be the engine of music in all of Fairfield County.
Sure. What I really appreciate as a consumer of these wonderful online events is, even though we're not in the same area at all, there is still a sense of connection and a sense of participating, and you can just feel that there are so many other people experiencing this with you. So it doesn't feel like it's a really isolated, you know, we're just all sitting in our basements kind of, because there are so many of us, you know, enjoying it at the same time.
Yeah. So. I, you know, you can only work with the material at hand, but I am really encouraged. We had our online gala to open the year. We couldn't get mm-hmm. together in person. We just had our first online premiere with works by Jesse Montgomery, this wonderful young composer, her piece called Banner, which we played, as well as a Mozart symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And the response that we got online was surprising. You know, people have been glued to their screens since February and March. Everybody
yeah.
is, you know, I think even in the most diehard fan, the idea of binge-watching another Netflix series is a daunting prospect, right? And people are hungry to come together and experience music. But there is some, I don't know, need which overcomes even that fatigue. And I know that for the people who did join us online, and there were many of them, the response was really tremendous, and I'm encouraged by that. And the only thing we can do is to be as honest and open and generous in our music making as possible, and just think of how it's going to be so palpably extraordinary when we get back together again.
Mm-hmm. What is your role going to be with this specific premiere, the Venetian Holiday?
Well, I was actually on the podium for the concerto. Mm-hmm. We did have a lovely online chat with Kathleen Nestor, and I did not conduct the brass, but as a little sort of host and introduction and giving a little insight and background, we did include, you know, feedback from the musicians. And I think the idea is not to give, in these online premieres, a facsimile, you know, just a photocopy mm-hmm. of what a concert might be three steps removed at a distance. Sure. Nobody is going to pretend that replicates what you really want to have, which we cannot have right now. Mm-hmm. But at least we can, through the medium of this digital streaming, allow a different perspective which is engaging enough to make people want to listen, and then to have the music recorded and filmed in such a way that it's compelling enough to watch and to hear, even though we're not in the same room. And I think that is always going to be our goal. I mean, it's always about the standards that we set for ourselves and what we absolutely believe our audience deserves.
Right. Is there anything that I didn't touch on in our conversation that you'd like people to know about this event?
Well, I won't give too much away, but if you are a fan of mulled wine, or drinking generally speaking, you should stay tuned for a little extra treat.
That's so great. There's nothing cozier than mulled wine, and I can just imagine a raw December day in Venice, and it would be like really, really welcome. So you can kind of, you know, play along with the fantasy, I guess.
Absolutely.
But Michael, it's been so much fun to reconnect with you and find out about this premiere. And happy holidays, and I hope we get to talk soon in the new year.
The same to you. Safe, happy, and healthy time for you and your family, and I look forward always to talking to you.